Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim's column is titled, Capital Projects, What is New? And here's what Jim has to say about that. I've been working on capital projects since March 1970. I didn't know that was what they were called when I showed up from my first co-op position that March, but looking back on it, I was certainly working on machinery that fit into our customer's capital project. What has changed since then? In those days, everything was done by hand. There was no computer-aided design. There were no computers for bills of materials, scheduling, and so forth. Hand drawings, hand-built schedules, on and on. The first time I saw a computer on a job was in 1974, when a timeshare computer was used for some specialized calculations. The first time I had a computer in an office I ran was January 1980. We did have calculators by then, though. Today, there's 3D modeling with interference checking. Drones are used to keep track of progress in the field. Some of the biggest changes today are in the sourcing of equipment. It comes from all over the world, even within one supplier. Ships and shipments are tracked with GPS, and the location of everything is constantly known on a current basis. 49 years ago, one noticed scaffolding all over the place to place workers at the site of the work. Today, cherry pickers are everywhere. I recently counted over 50 of these machines on one site. In colder climates, work used to come to a stop in the wintertime. Doesn't seem to happen so much any longer, or the work is scheduled so that buildings are enclosed and indoor work continues. My estimate is that the time to complete equivalent projects has been cut in half in the last 49 years. In real dollars, the total installed cost has gone down, way down. In one area, I think conditions have deteriorated. When everything was done manually, experienced designers became experienced by touching everything up close and personal as it was built and installed. Today, they are insulated from the real work by keyboards, computer mice, computer screens, and so forth. They do not get the feel for the work that existed before all these modern aids evolved. Although we have many ways to do interference checking these days, and although they are very good, better than by hand, it seems to me the designers become too dependent on such systems. They are dumbed down in terms of their ability to visualize these problems in their minds. It is sort of like getting used to driving a car that has a backup camera and alarm. Jump from that to a car without these devices, and you'll see how dependent you have become on them. This lack of feel results in designs that are adequate, but not elegant. It means, in general, our design elegance sometimes has not kept up with the technology. The human touch has been lost. Yes, we have 3D computer models, drones, and VR, that's virtual reality systems, but they cannot quite completely replace the real thing. That is what we are missing today. My point is made when one thinks about safety training. One can have just so much classroom training, video instructions, even VR training. At the end of the day, though, one needs to touch the real equipment and go through the real motions. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim titled his column, "Capital Projects Are Still Political," and here's what Jim has to say about that. I say still political because I have written about this before. Mid-career operations managers and capital project managers have usually seen one or two complete disasters by the time they reach this stage in their careers. Typically, they resolve something like this, quote, "If I ever get to the point that I am in charge of a capital project, I'm going to do it differently. I will fill in the blank." Their failing is they never spend the time to learn how to do a project correctly, and they seldom get a chance to hire someone who knows how to do a project correctly. Of course, for the latter to be true, they have to recognize that they do not know how to do a project correctly, and they have to be given the latitude to seek out someone or some firm that does. In most cases, it is more like this analogy. One sees a car wreck happen in real time and thinks, "I'll never let that happen to me." However, they do not spend any time studying the wreck to see the details of what went wrong and how to avoid the same mistakes. In the car wreck example, the only ones who do the necessary studying are those with a vested interest, race car drivers. Others that study such things are companies with professional drivers, trucking companies, and bus lines. The casual daily commuter doesn't invest the time. This is what happens with capital projects in our industry. Early in one's career, one may be involved in capital projects, but not be a decision maker. When time comes for them to assume the mantle of responsibility, they're no better off than the casual automobile commuter. Complicating matters in capital projects is this. Big capital projects attract contractors and equipment builders who have been courting top management for years. For the most critical financial allocation a company may make in 5 or 10 years, the decision as to who will do it and how they will do it will come down to a long-term friendship between heavy hitters who have to listen to no one. I can think of at least two projects in the United States right now that are being executed in this manner. For folks who do expert witness work, as I sometimes do, I am merely waiting for the lawsuits to start flying 2 or 3 years from now in order to cash in my own way. I am serious. This has happened many times in my career. My first witness experience in a construction case was in the mid-1980s, and they have come along on a regular basis from that day to this. So how do you avoid these situations? Allow professionals, not amateurs, to manage capital projects. Send some folks to classes at the Construction Institute in Austin, Texas. If you are a CEO or board member, eschew contracts based on your personal friendship with your hunting buddies. In other words, hold capital projects to the same high standards to which you hold construction. Recognize that your best papermaking manager is not likely your best construction manager. Do your homework, or have your dedicated professionals do their homework to vet all the key contractors and equipment builders. Spend a lot of time talking about schedules and cost. There is a lot to learn about project management by studying the original construction of the Panama Canal, one of the most political capital projects in modern times. There is a lot to learn about project management by studying the original construction of the Panama Canal, one of the most political capital projects in modern times. The first manager appointed in the United States was John Fenley Wallace. He was under such pressure to make the dirt fly that he failed in less than a year. He was replaced by John Frank Stevens. The first thing Mr. Stevens did was stop all work for months while he assessed the condition of the equipment, the training of the workers, and anything else to do with the project. He refused to be rushed as he assessed conditions. Mr. Stevens got the project finally off to a good start. Can you imagine the fortitude it would take to stop a project and take the time to assess conditions and make a plan? Again, I can think of a couple of projects in our industry that need this kind of discipline today. For safety this week, one can often look at the safety record of an ongoing project and determine the overall condition of the project. An unsafe project is likely over budget and out of control from a schedule standpoint, too. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
From bales to cores to finished rolls and parent rolls, automatic handling is your guide to overcoming the worst material handling headaches. Located in Erie, Michigan, Automatic Handling International has been providing advanced state-of-the-art equipment to the paper industry for over 4 decades. Automatic Handling's equipment makes management, operators, and maintenance smile. Elegant solutions, simple to operate and maintain. You get a feel for their dedication to advanced equipment design and advanced manufacturing when you visit their factory. Vertically integrated, the company can control every stage of a capital project from design and manufacture to full in-house runoffs and mill startups. You won't find a paper drawing anywhere in their plant. All manufacturing and assembly is directly linked to engineering and select suppliers. The assembly floor is instantly updated on any changes with extraordinarily large screens where technicians can see every piece, every assembly detail in 3D. This means your equipment can be custom designed and built for your operations, while still providing extremely short lead times for your new solution from Automatic Handling. That's Automatic Handling International Incorporated, Erie, Michigan, USA. Visit them at www.automatichandling.com or call them at 734-847-0633. That's 734-847-0633. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim titled his column, Training Engineers to Manage Capital Projects. And here's what he has to say about that. I have been amazed at the personnel who lack experience but have, on occasion, been allowed to manage capital projects. Such personnel selections, as I have seen them, have usually been made by senior managers who rose through the production ranks and who give little thought to what it might take to manage a capital project, even one of a very modest size. I am not aware of any undergraduate engineering program in mechanical, chemical, or electrical engineering that imparts the knowledge to manage a project in its own discipline. Some, but not all, civil engineering programs may do so. These programs spend the precious hours they have in the classroom teaching the disciplines of the practice, thermodynamics, fluids, electrical theory, and so forth, and have no time left to teach how to manage products involving these disciplines. One learns how to manage projects either as an understudy to an experienced engineer or by going to a specialized short course or graduate school in project management. Another great source of experience is engineering consulting firms. To throw a recent engineering graduate into a project management role without a capable mentor is inviting a disaster for the project and is doing a great disservice to the young engineer. I have seen careers destroyed out of the gate, and young engineers, 2 or 3 years out of school, change professions completely after being burned with the too much too soon syndrome. As a rule of thumb, in today's dollars, I think a solo project manager should not be entrusted with a $500,000 project without 5 years' experience under a qualified leader. At 20 years' experience, they should be able to handle anything if they're ever going to do so, but some never acquire the skills. We do two things here at Paparitalo Publications, in a small way, to help fill the gap with young engineers. First, there is the book, The Lazy Project Engineer's Path to Excellence. For many years now, we have made sure every graduate of the pulp and paper schools in the United States leaves school with a copy. Whether they read it or not is another matter. If you don't have a copy, you can purchase one on Amazon. Just put the title above in the Amazon search bar, and it will pop right up. Recently, we have added another little book, The Proper Production or Project Meeting, to this portfolio. It is also available on Amazon. The second thing we have done is to offer the Engineering Manager of the Year award. Recently, we have modified it to focus more on the younger managers. It's now the Young Engineering Manager of the Year award and is offered to those under 35 years old that have done an extraordinary project, one that almost defies belief. We're interested in getting engineering projects done correctly by competent management for one simple reason. Production is saddled with whatever engineering completes for them. If it is not an efficient and competitive project, it can, in the long run, kill the mill. At the same time, we'll hasten to say the avoidance of failure does not involve an experienced production manager of any age suddenly thinking he or she is a capital project manager. This is not the path to success for anyone. And it goes without saying that poor projects are highly susceptible to poor safety conditions. They go hand in hand. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim titled the column, Capital Project Managers, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. First of all, let's take a look at the good. The good have enough confidence in themselves to negotiate in several different realms without getting upset or upsetting others. They handle senior management with confidence in such a manner that senior management leaves them alone. They create realistic schedules after receiving plenty of solid input, which they carefully vet, and realistic budgets, the same thing, they explore all inputs carefully. Good managers take time interviewing all suppliers. They also spend a lot of time early on talking to the operations people, if these have already been hired or are already on board. In the case of a major rebuild where downtime must be taken, they will also talk to the sales department to understand the impact of the downtime on existing customers. Some of the good call me up and ask for advice because they're not afraid to do so. For of the active people in the industry, I have probably seen more capital projects from more angles, engineering, supplier, engineering consultant, mill manager, expert witness, than anyone else out there at this time. It's not bragging if you have done it. Next, let's look at the bad capital project managers. They come into the job with chips on their shoulders and distinct opinions on how the project should be run. They will not seek help from anyone. They will expect scientific absolutes to bow to their wishes in chemistry, physics, mechanics, and sometimes even gravity. They will expect anyone working for them, either directly or indirectly, to ignore their personal lives for the duration, not just at critical shutdown times, risk life and limb if necessary, and take abuse when things go wrong, as they surely will. They will hide information from various groups, make everyone operate in silos, and will hide information from upper management. Of course, given time and science, they will be found out. And then there are the ugly project managers. If the bad were not enough, the ugly are even worse. One of the favorite tricks of the ugly is to conveniently leave things out of contracts with suppliers, engineers, and others, then browbeat them into providing the deficiencies for free. Their favorite phrase for this is, well, if you want to be a favored supplier in this mill in the future, you need to take care of me now. Suppliers, I think you need to think long and hard about that statement. Become known for caving in, and you will cave in forever, or until you go bankrupt. You just may not wish to be a supplier to that mill. The ugly are also the ones who shake down suppliers for goodies, from dinner to bass boats. I've seen it happen. From the ugly is where I can count on a nice income from expert witness assignments when suppliers sue and need my services. Sadly, the good are few and far between. When the others get kicked out of the window, often they have innocent and good operators, suppliers, and others they take out with them. So who is at fault for things going wrong here? Upper management, who either picked the wrong manager to start with or didn't listen to the good managers when they gave them their assessments. Teddy Roosevelt had these problems staffing the Panama Canal project. His first manager was a poor selection. His second manager was great, but burnt out in a couple of years. Teddy solved that problem with his third one. He put an army officer in charge who couldn't quit and who luckily turned out to be a pretty good manager too. From onlypulpandpaperjobs.com, the job of the week. Clearwater Paper is looking for a converting business unit leader. onlypulpandpaperjobs.com. From onlypulpandpaperjobs.com, the job of the week. Clearwater Paper is looking for a converting business unit leader in Shelby, North Carolina. For safety this week, a bad project has safety problems. Another reason to pick a good manager. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2019, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.